nationality you are, regardless of what language you speak, hallelujah is universal in any language. Amen?
Amen.
This morning we're going to be talking about go after it. And you may see these chairs up here. I hope you can see these chairs up here, because you know a picture is worth a thousand words. But before we get to that, I want you, if you have your Bibles, to turn with me to the book of 2 Kings chapter 7. 2 Kings chapter 7, and we're going to start in verse 1. Second Kings chapter 7, verse 1. It says, "Then Elisha said, Hear ye the word of the Lord. Hear ye the word of the Lord." What a difference it makes if men and women of God would be bold enough to walk into a room, to walk into a crowd and say, "Hear ye the word of the Lord." Yes. Not the word of the media, not the word of the person down the street, not the word of your neighbor, but "Hear ye the word of the Lord." Amen. If I just thought about it enough, we've got to get back to the boldness of God. Amen? Amen. Elisha was saying, here we are in the city of Samaria. It was during a famine. Food was scarce. They were starving. And he said, "Hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord. Tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, and 2 measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria. Then a Lord," lowercase L, not the Lord, a Lord. "Then a Lord on whose hand the king leaned answered the man of God and said, Behold, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, might this thing be?" We hear the news media saying, "Stay home. Don't go anywhere. Don't communicate or touch or get around anybody." I heard this morning that the news media is saying that churches are changing their way of worship. They're saying, "Stay home. We're going to change our way of worship." But if they really read their Bible, it says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves, even in the last days, that nothing by any means shall harm you, that no plague would come upon you. What God are we serving today? Because the God I serve is not dead. He does not tremble at a coronavirus. He does not back up for any kind of disease. He has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Where are my Christians at today? And you can see, I'm a little excited this morning, because when the devil starts messing, when the devil starts fighting, I get happy. That doesn't seem right. It seems crazy. I get happy. You know why? Because Satan fights what threatens him. He knows that God is about to bust heaven wide open and say, "I see a people who is not scared of what people say. They're not scared of what the media says, but they're standing firm on my word. They're trusting me with every bit and fiber of their being, and I can't help but bless right in the middle of their storm, right in the middle of their enemy, right in the middle of all chaos, right in the middle of every deadly disease." You have your naysayers that say, "Well, if God would open up the windows of heaven, I'm suffering for God. I'm walking through the desert for God." Be careful what you speak. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. And Elisha told him, "Behold, if the Lord," or he said, and he said, "Behold, thou shalt see it with your eyes, but shalt not eat thereof." Many of us have enemies in our lives today. Or maybe they're not enemies. members, maybe their friends, so-called friends, that would doubt you, that would doubt when you're speaking faith to all extent.
Yes.
And they say, I'm staying home. Aren't you afraid of what virus you could contract? Aren't you afraid? Absolutely not. Because for God I live, for God I die. And if he sees fit for me to contract the coronavirus, I already know he's already made a way of escape, because that's what he's promised. Amen?
Yes.
Amen. Amen.
Verse 3. And there were four leprous men at the entering of the gate. Four leprous men. Okay. Shane, I need you. I need my father-in-law. Where are you? I need you. Brother Ralph, I need you, if you don't mind. Just sit right here. I'm going to get a little unconventional, but that's okay. And I need one more. I'm going to ask my dad to come up. And there's reasons why that I selected these four men. But you'll find out later on. Four leprous men at the entering of the gate. Now, you know, at that time, lepers were cast out. You didn't go near them. You didn't touch them. You looked at them like, you got something I don't want. You're not worthy of my communication. You're not worthy of my presence. Sounds like some church folks. Sounds like some church houses. Amen?
Amen.
I'm just speaking truth. I have to speak truth. We have to get back to the basics. When we are supposed to be gathering in, loving and praying for lepers.
Yeah.
Hurt people.
Yes.
Those that need God, not those that are lonely, those that are depressed, those that need salvation, those that need deliverance. That is not the time to send them out of the city and have them sit there at the gate. But we are to open the gates wide open and welcome them in. Again, for God we live, for God we die.
Amen.
But there were four lepers. Four leprous men at the entering in of the gate. And they said one to another, why sit we here until we die? They were sitting at the gate of Samaria, and Samaria was already in a famine. There was no food to be found. They're sitting at the gate, and right next door was their enemy, Syria. Syria was just waiting. They knew famine was in the land. And they said, we'll wait them out. We'll let them starve to death. And they'll be done. But if they decide to come out of the city, we'll kill them. Circumstance had them backed up in a corner. Circumstance had their backs against the wall. You ever felt like that? Sickness come, relationships broke, hurt feelings, people accusing you of things, your children walked away from you, the doctor giving you a death sentence, you feel like everything is coming on me, my back is against the wall. That's what the devil wishes and hopes to get you in.
That's right.
Is your back against the wall. There's no way out. He wants to box you in.
Wow.
And these four lepers, we're sitting there, already given a death sentence. There was no cure for leprosy at that time. They were hungry. They didn't know what to do. And they said within themselves, why sit we here until we die?
Amen.
If we sit here, we die. If we go into the enemy's camp, they might save us. And they might kill us. Either way, we die. And scripture says In verse 4, if we say we will enter into the city, talking about Samaria, then the famine is in the city and we shall die there. And if we sit still here, we die also. Now therefore, see, I'm talking to some people this morning that have been sitting too long. You have been sitting in your comfort of lies that the enemy said you are boxed in. There is no way out. And you've even gotten comfortable in your sitting. You've gotten comfortable because you've accepted what Satan lied to you. You have gotten comfortable because, see, comfort, whether you know it or not, makes you immobile. It cripples your feet and your legs from standing up. But if you read through the Bible, God never said, sit down.
Yes.
He said, stand. Having done all to stand. When you stand, it means something. When you stand, it means, I'm tired of being comfortable. I don't want to accept what the devil has given to me. I don't want to accept death. I don't want to accept my circumstance.
Nope.
But bless God, I'm going to arise. I'm going to get up. And I'm going to do what I know to do. It says in verse 5. What does it say? Somebody read it to me.
And they rose up.
And they rose up in the twilight. What did they do?
Going to the camp.
They rose up. They rose up. They didn't sit still.
Amen.
They didn't accept what the enemy gave to them. They rose up. They rose up. Sometimes the biggest decision in our lives is to just stand. That you've been sitting long enough. And you say, I don't know where to go, God. I don't know what to do. I feel like I've been boxed in. There's no option. There's no escape. And God just says, stand. Just stand. Just have enough faith to stand. And it says they rose up in the twilight. Now you can imagine. They said, why sit we here until we die? We sit here, we're going to die. We go into the city, we're going to die. There's no food there. We go into down the road. We may die, even still. But what's in the enemy's camp? See, that's what we forget, because the enemy has stolen so much from us and we've allowed it.
Yes.
And our blessing and our miracle and our everything that we have is going to be in the enemy's camp. We just have to make a wise decision. I'm going to stop sitting. I'm tired. I'm tired of being comfortable. I have no other options. But what about the enemy's camp? What about the enemy's camp? I know he's stolen nights of rest from me. Go get the enemy's camp. I know that I've lost loved ones. I know that I've lost the joy because Satan has sifted it from me. Go into the enemy's camp. I've lost the hope that I once had. I was on fire for God and it seems like it's been watered down. Go into the enemy's camp. Because that's where you'll find it. The four lepers said, we don't have a choice. But if we sit here, we're going to die even still. Many of us are sitting in our same situation because we're just waiting to die. This is all that's been handed to me. This is all of my options. This is all that I have left. And God said, no. It's not over with until I, the Lord God, say it's over with. If I tell you to stand up, I will direct your path. I will guide your footsteps. And it says, to go into the camp of the Syrians. They decided, this is our best hope. Go into the enemy's camp. And when they were come to the uttermost part of the camp of Syria, the uttermost part, behold, There was no man there. There was no man there. Because you know what? They rose up in the twilight. Now follow me here, because I'm going to take you someplace. They rose in the twilight. They went into the enemy's camp, and there was no man there. For the Lord had made the host of the Syrians to hear a noise of chariots and a noise of horses, even the noise of a great host. And they said one to another, "Lo, the king of Israel hath hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to come upon us." Verse 7, wherefore they arose and fled when?
In the twilight.
Did they arise before the men got up?
Praise God.
Mm-mm. Y'all are missing this. I didn't get it until I read it over and over. When they made the choice, "I'm going to get up."
Yes.
In the twilight. Their faith is what the enemy heard. Their faith is what the enemy heard. And the Lord caused them to hear chariots. He caused them to hear noises of armies. And they feared for their lives. Oh, if y'all could get this morning. When you choose to trust God with everything. Everything. When you decide, "Faith is all I have, God. Faith is all I have."
Yes.
When you decide to get up, that is what the enemy hears. That faith is massive to his ears.
Yes.
Wherefore they arose and fled in the twilight and left their tents and their horses. They fled for their lives. And these lepers coming to the city. "I'm scared. I'm going into the enemy's camp." But we don't have a choice. God will direct our paths. And they smelt food cooking on the stove. When you haven't eaten, go a day without eating. The smell of anything, food-wise, will make you hungry. You will be more than happy to partake of whatever is being prepared. They went into one tent, and they found, "Oh, there's a 7-course meal waiting for us." And they sat down at the table, and they ate. And they got up and walked out and looked around. The enemy's still gone. They went into another tent. "There's clothing for me. I'm a leper," and I can imagine how dirty and filthy the clothing that they had. They found clothes. They put on their clothes. They went into tent after tent with an abundance.
Yeah.
With an abundance. But you know what? It all started with a little bit of faith.
Yes.
The decision, the wise decision to get up. And I'm telling you this morning, whatever your situation is, whatever you're facing, whatever the devil is trying to convince you of and box you in,
yes,
make a wise choice. Stand. I'm going to stand at all costs. I'm going to stand when it doesn't seem right. I'm going to stand when it doesn't look right. I'm going to stand when it seems like I only have days left. I'm going to stand when things are going wrong at home. I'm going to stand when I don't have enough money to pay my bills. I'm going to stand regardless. I'm going to stand when those people out there are waiting to come in these doors.
Yes.
You know why? Because weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Joy comes in the morning.
Amen.
It was a death sentence for them, but God had other plans. And I'm telling you this morning, God has other plans for you. It is not over with. The devil would like to trick you and make you think that your back is against the wall, that there's nothing more you can do. There's nothing more that you can plead with God about. Amen. He's telling you, you've prayed the same prayer for years and you haven't seen a change.
Yes.
Anybody relate to that? Satan, he hears your prayers just like God does, and he will use them against you.
Yes.
And he'll even taunt you and mock you and say, if God really heard you, he would move like that, because you know what kind of God he is. You must have done something wrong. You must have let him down some way. You must have been disobedient. You've been diagnosed with the same sickness for years, and God has yet to heal you. Where is your God? There's going to come a time you're going to get tired of sitting. You're going to get tired of listening to the tauntings of Satan. And why we listen to it, I don't know, because I'm guilty of it too. But there's going to come a point in time you're going to say to yourself, why sit we here until we die? If God be for me, who can be against me? If God says it's over and done, I'll accept it. But I'm standing on the word of God. I'm standing on what I know. I'm using my faith today to cause confusion for the enemy. Because I don't know about you, Satan has tried to send confusion my way. He's tried to rattle me. He's tried to rattle my nerves. And most times, after a while, it's little by little, I feel like I want to just bottle up into a fetal position, because I'm so wore out. My mind is so wore out. And that's what he's trying to do, church. Yes. He's trying to sift us.
Yes.
But there is a button, like a prodding. Greater is he that is within you. You know what to do. You know that word. I have not put my spirit within you just to let it die. I have not put my spirit within you just to let it go dormant. But I, the Lord God, if I said it, I'm going to do it. Stand up and have faith in God.
Yes.
What these four lepers did, they got fed up with what junk they were listening to. They got fed up. And when you get fed up, you'll get up. Some of us may not be there yet. Some of us may be. But because I don't see a way out, I'm just going to sit down. I'm just going to stay seated, because I've been seated for so long and I'm comfortable with that. But when you get fed up, you'll get up. John 16 and 13 speaks of the Spirit of truth will guide you into all truth. Guide you, which means he'll guide you. He'll lead you. Now, men, I'm going to guide you. I'm going to lead you. Okay? I'm guiding you. I'm leading you. I'm guiding you. I'm leading you. This is how we react to God. We follow him with our eyes, but we don't make any movement. In order to guide someone, in order to lead someone, come on, you got to do something. You got to walk with me. You got to follow me. Everywhere I go, I'm leading you. I'm guiding you. Now, this may seem unconventional. This may seem different. This may seem irrational. But when you are at your wit's end, when nothing else will do, you will do what you've never done before. Because you've tried everything before and it didn't work. But when you do something different and you make up in your mind, God, I've been asking you for so long to change this circumstance. But God, now I realize, change me. Change me so that I'll know when to get up, when to step out, when to walk out on that water. Because see, when it's time for us to step out, we got to get up first.
Yeah.
You can't really, I guess you could if you were crafty enough, you can't get out of a boat sitting down. You could roll out, but you first got to stand up. Y'all can have a seat. Guiding leads to leading, and it requires someone to follow. It requires action. Which brings me, faith without what?
Works.
Faith without works is dead. You could say all day long, I believe God. I believe He's going to move for me. I believe He's going to heal me. I believe He's going to deliver my children. I believe that things are going to be put in place. But what am I doing? It's faith. But the Bible says without works is dead. You can believe it till you die. But it's not doing anything. So what do you have to do? Stand on faith and go after it. If it's a new relationship you're wanting, go after it. If it's a new home you're wanting, go after it. If it's a new job you're wanting, go after it. If it's salvation, guess what? Go after it. No one can do it for you. You can say all day long, God, I need you, but I'm going to sit right here in my seat and do nothing. And I refuse to change. Nothing will happen because it's just words. But when you put action to your faith and you say, God, I've never done this before and I'm a little unsure. I'm a little shaky. I'm a little fearful. God says, that's okay. Just stand. Just stand. I'll do the rest. I'll lead you. I'll guide you. But you got to be willing to move. You got to be willing to follow me. You can say, God, I serve you. God, I believe you. God, I trust you. I'm trusting you as I'm going out for it. You may be looking for a new job. God's not going to, although He could, God's not going to drop it in your lap while you're sitting at home. You get in that car and you say, God, I don't know where I'm going today, but I trust you. Just as you made the enemy to hear chariots and horses and all these loud sounds, let my faith deafen the enemy to where he can't talk to me anymore. He can't confuse me anymore. I'm getting in my car and I'm going to drive down the road, and because I'm being led by you, you'll lead me to the right place. Does that sound crazy? I'm getting in the car and I don't know where to go. Yeah, it sounds crazy. God will lead you. God will direct you. We're talking about stand. And as I looked up the definition for stand as it relates to the Bible, I want you to hear this. To be on its foundation, not to be overthrown or demolished. I want you to picture in your mind you sitting and what happens and what it means to stand. To remain upright, not to fall. To continue, to endure, to be fixed or steady, to be in or to maintain a posture of resistance or defense, to continue unchanged. Do you see how important it is to stand? Yes. Having done all, to stand. To maintain one's ground, not to fail, to be satisfied or convinced, to persist, to persevere, to pursue.
Yes.
What are you doing? We're sitting in our comfort zone. And God's telling you, God's telling us this morning, a shift is here. A shift is coming. You can't no longer sit in those seats anymore and feel comfortable. You can't do what you did yesterday or 5 years ago or 10 years ago and expect it to work. Ephesians 6 and 13 says, having done all, to stand. 1 Corinthians 16 and 13, stand firm in the faith. Ephesians 6, 11, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to sit.
Stand.
See, the problem is Satan has already knocked us off our feet. We just stayed down for the count.
Yes.
When the ref gets to 10, it'll be over with. No, it won't. When God says it's over with, it'll be over with. But until He says it's over, there is a fight deep down inside of each and every one of us that hasn't been unleashed yet. You may have been through things in the past. You may have gone through such devastation, but you're still here. There's a reason. You have a purpose. Man. The Bible says they arose in the twilight, and in the twilight when the enemy left. So if you're asking, why is the enemy still here? Maybe he's not hearing what he needs to hear. Well, you know, this talk of this coronavirus has really gotten me down. I'm afraid to go out. I'm afraid to touch anybody. I'm afraid to talk to anybody. I'm afraid to go to the grocery store. I've got to stock up on hand sanitizer. I've got to stock up on bottled water. I'm not telling you not to be cautious. But what I am telling you is, God didn't give us a spirit of fear. The news media does. But God doesn't. When you know who you serve, while everybody is running away from the people that are needing it the most, as some churches are, they're running away. Just as we talked about this Good Samaritan, the priest and the Levites who were supposed to help the one being robbed, turned their back and said, "It's not for me. What can he do for me? What can he do for my ministry?" It ain't about that. When everybody else is running away, God ran to you. He didn't run away from you. He ran toward you, which is what we, as the body of Christ, being an example, that's what we should do. Run towards the people that need it. Run towards the people that need love. Run towards them, not away from them. Yes. What the enemy needs to hear is your faith. So I ask you this morning, how big is your faith? You may say, "I have faith as a grain of mustard seed." That's great. What are you doing with it? How are you activating your faith? Because just by saying it doesn't do anything. You have to go after it. And what I mean, you may say, "Well, I've been diagnosed with a sickness." You're telling me that if I stand firm in my faith, what am I supposed to go after? I can't go after healing. Oh, yes, you can.
Yes, you can.
Every day you walk into that doctor's office or even in your house, to the grocery store, you know how you go after your healing? Bless God, this is the day that God has made. I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. I don't know what tomorrow holds. All I know is I'm alive today. Today, I'm breathing. I'm able to walk. I'm able to get out. And when other people see that, they're going to look at you. "Weren't you diagnosed with cancer?" "Yes, ma'am, I was." "But are you not scared? Are you not depressed that your days are numbered?" "No, because I know that God's got me right here. And all I got to do is trust him. I'm standing and I'm going after my healing. For God I live, for God I die. Either way, I'm solid. Either way, I'm sealed. I'm not going to waste my time giving Satan the satisfaction of sitting down in my misery, sitting down saying, what's wrong? Why did I do what I'm doing? Why am I being punished?" That's how you go after your blessing. That's how you go after your healing. Some of us in here have been so consumed with our circumstance, have been so consumed with what's going wrong that we forget about what's going right. We forget. And I was praying this week and it hit me and I said, "God, please forgive me because I'm just as guilty." I said, "God, help me. Tell me what the church needs to hear. Tell me. Because it's not my words. My words won't do anything, but it's your words." He said, "If my people would only trust me and listen to my words as much as they're as quick as they are to listen to the devil.
Yes.
And that stuck with me. I said, God, that's true. Why are we so quick to believe lies? Why are we so quick to say, I'm sitting down? God has forsaken me. God has forgotten me. When in his word, it clearly states, I will be with you always, even until the end of the age. What are we doing, church? Why are we believing the enemy more so than God? The enemy's trying to put some of us in an early grave, and this is what we look like. I'm going to help you dig it. I'm digging my own grave because the doctors have already told me that I've got 6 months to live. So I'm going to dig my grave while the enemy's trying to do it for us. And he was like, I don't need to do anything. You dig your own grave. My work here is done. And God's saying, what are you doing? Don't you realize who you are? Don't you realize the spirit that I have dwelt inside of you? Put down that shovel. Stand up, stand firm, and declare, I'm a child of the Most High God. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. You have given me power to tread over serpents and scorpions and over all the powers of the enemy. And nothing shall harm you. So I'm asking you, what are you fearful of? What are you fearful of? Some may say, I'm fearful of getting the coronavirus. Is that what's driving you? Is fear what's driving you? Because I can think of something better that will drive you, that drives out all fear, that drives out all darkness. It drives out. I didn't even tell my husband this. We were out Friday night and I happened to look up in the sky. I did tell him, you see that star up there? It's shining so bright. And he said, well, if it's shining lights, it's probably an airplane. I said, no, it's not moving. There's no lights flashing. And I fixed my eyes for just a minute on that star. And I was thinking, God, you put something so tiny to me, light, that I focused on that instead of the darkness around it. Some will look at the darkness and miss the star in the sky. Some will miss the light that's right there, that's just radiating lightness. And then when God said, why is it that my people are so quick to listen to the enemy? He pulls on your ear. And God's saying, what have I done for you? I saved you. I've forgiven you. I've chosen you. I've called you. I've redeemed you. I have pulled you out of so many messes. I have even saved you and blocked you from things you never know about that could have taken your life.
Yes, amen.
And we're so quick to forget all that, to sit in misery over what Satan has tried to deceive us with. Your miracle awaits you. Your blessing awaits you. Your deliverance, the ability to be set free. God set us free the moment we decided to choose him as our Lord and Savior. And he said, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Signed, sealed, delivered. You're not entangled anymore. You're free indeed. And I would wonder if there's anyone here today that would even say, God, I'll admit I'm yours, but I don't feel free. I've been entangled by the lies of the enemy. I've been sifted as wheat. I have been wore down to the point where I don't even recognize that it's the enemy causing me to sit down and to stay down. I feel like the muscles that were in my legs have just diminished. The muscle mass is gone. I can't even get up. When God's just saying, I never left you. But you do have to decide who you're going to listen to. You do have to decide, are you going to sit down? Or are you going to stand up? Because in a race, they say, on your mark. You can't start that race sitting down. You got to be sitting on go. When I hear that, I'm going to take off running. And Peter said the same thing. He stood up in that boat and said, God, if it's you, you bid me to come. I'll step on that water. My fellow disciples may say I'm crazy. But yeah, I may be crazy and I'm a little temperamental and I have a foul mouth. But God, I want to do something different to get to you. I want to do something different that changes my circumstance. That's all God's asking. How far are you willing to go to run the race, to stand up and be sitting on go? Because when he says, it's time, go after it. Go after it. Run it down. Because the same enemy that's telling you, you can't, it's not within your reach. You'll never make it. You'll never get there. I will do everything to trip you up, to stop you, to block you. And while that may be true, he cannot. He can delay it. He cannot deny you. So you fall, you get back up, and you keep going after it. Many of us get tripped up, we fall, and we stay down and say, nope, this race is not for me. Everyone bow your heads.